the Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you? I like that quote today.
I like the quote as well. It's a very modern one, isn't it? Just like from the recent times rather than the usual ones that we get going back years and years.
Absolutely.
And years.
I thought he was going with give a man a fish, but then he switched it to Mark. he had me going there.
If anybody had any doubts as to whether the Yoreh has come, the first rains of the winter in Israel, there can be absolutely no doubt now. We've had really tons of rain over the last couple of days, right across Israel, flooding reported from certain areas, but lots and lots of rain. The problem, of course, is that when such a lot of rain is received so soon after the summer without the opportunity to have a slightly soaking rain first, then it does cause flooding because, of course, the ground is unable to absorb all the water after such a long period of dry weather. So unfortunately, there has been some flooding. There's no reports that we've received of damage or injuries, nothing that I've read anyway. But certainly a lot of rain over the last couple of days and some stormy weather. And I think we're going to probably have some more rain today. So good news. I mean, we do need the rain.
Absolutely.
The water situation is really not terrible at all. It's a lot better than it has been at the end of previous summers. I'll have a look at it in more detail, and perhaps we can talk about it on Monday. But certainly not a bad situation for water. The rain, however, is always welcome.
Absolutely. The coronavirus cabinet yesterday approved the opening of high street shops starting from Sunday. How are the numbers looking since the second reopening?
There's been a definite uptick in the numbers since the schools reopened and since beauty salons and there are other facilities that have slowly been opening. And finally on Sunday, the coronavirus cabinet has decided that they will allow high street shops to open in green cities only. There will be another discussion today about what to do in red cities, but in green cities only. And of course, it comes with a warning from the Prime Minister that we're aware of the fact that the numbers are going up slightly, but that we're opening up anyway with full knowledge. And then he again has tried to set some sort of an expectation as to when we might choose to be closed down again, or when the cabinet might choose to close us down again in the event that the numbers start to go up again. From our last experience, whatever was set was not adhered to. When, you know, the numbers are set, it's always a very, very easy thing because, when the limits are set, usually the numbers are relatively okay and it doesn't look like we will get there anytime soon. But from our experience of the last shutdown, we got to those numbers pretty quickly and the government just wasn't ready at that stage to adhere to those numbers, as a result of which we went into a very serious second wave. So I'm not sure what all of this means for a potential third wave. And I've said this a few times, but there is still so much discussion about it that there is talk about, you know, a further lockdown coming as soon as Hanukkah, which is now just over a month away. So I'm not sure how that will transpire. But a few interesting things around the borders, which kind of relate to the coronavirus. First of all, the fact that Saeb Erekat apparently is really seriously unwell, still being treated in an Israeli hospital. We spoke a few weeks ago about the fact that he'd been brought over to a hospital in Jerusalem. He's apparently not doing too well at all. So that's the first piece of information. The second one is that a Jordanian official apparently arrived by helicopter at Hadassah Hospital in Jerusalem yesterday after being diagnosed with coronavirus. We understand that he could be the chief medical officer of the Jordanian army, who is ill with corona and needed specialist attention, and for whom a helicopter was chartered in order to bring him to an Israeli hospital. So that's one of the stories that we don't see splashed on the headlines around the world, even though, of course, the headlines are otherwise occupied. And the other thing which is interesting on the borders is the fact that the Egyptian authorities have decided to open or to reopen the Rafah border crossing with Gaza for the first time since September, which has been closed due to coronavirus. Up until now, we are accustomed to Rafah being closed because of security issues. But no, on this occasion, it's been closed because of coronavirus, and apparently the border crossing will be open in both directions for 4 days, which is what the Egyptians have said, in order to allow people and goods and services to pass through. Even at Rafah, people who want to pass through need to present a negative test, as is common now with anybody traveling from one area to another, a negative test within the last, 72 hours. Those are the people who will be allowed to travel backwards and forwards. That is even being applied at the Rafah crossing. And of course, Hamas has said that they're particularly concerned about the spread of coronavirus due to the high population density that we see in Gaza. And of course, they don't have the best medical infrastructure or sanitary conditions. So there is a concern about what an outbreak of corona, a serious outbreak of corona, may do in Gaza. Fortunately, that has not happened, although there have been some cases of corona in Gaza, but nothing too serious. Those are really the main coronavirus updates for today. Every day is a new day, and we will just, you know, see it as it comes every day, something new happening.
Yeah, indeed. And Ben Gurion Airport, they're introducing COVID testing stations.
So, yeah, there's a great picture, actually, of these COVID testing stations that have been put up at Ben Gurion Airport, apparently ready to operate. And the concession has been granted to a company which has links with Haifa's Rambam Medical Center. They won a tender. Apparently there was a tender put out for COVID-19 testing stations at the airport, and they've all been set up. The idea is that people will be tested on the way out rather than on the way in. I don't think they're going to be used for people who are trying to gain entry to Israel and who might not have had the required test before they boarded their flight. But this apparently is going to be for people who need the test on the way out. Obviously, the test results will not immediately be available. So I'm guessing that you could get a test, get on your plane on risk, hopefully get the results to your email while you're in there. When you land, wherever you're going, have the results ready to present to the authorities on the other side. I'm guessing that that's probably the logic. We are told that they will charge 45 shekels for a test, the results of which will be available within 14 hours. So that's only good if you're traveling like to the moon or to the United States or further away, you know, which takes more than 14 hours to get there.
Yeah.
But you can pay 135 shekels and get the test result within 4 hours. I understand that the idea will be that they will take the whatever samples they need at the airport. Those samples will then be taken off-site to a lab near the airport for assessing and for testing. And then I guess your results will be emailed to you or something like that, will be a WhatsApp to you in order for you to have them wherever you need. And we're told that this is going to change things dramatically. I mean, the 14-hour thing seems a little strange to me. I don't understand how anybody would be happy to get on to be at the airport and then get on a plane and only get your results 14 hours later. But certainly I think the 4-hour thing seems reasonable. And also there's been some talk about trying to find a way to allow business people to travel into Israel in a way that is safe. So far the recommendations have been that people will enter Israel. They need to disclose why they're coming here. They will not apparently be allowed to stay in hotels or leave their place of residence. I'm not quite sure where they would stay if they're not going to be allowed to stay in hotels. They will be allowed to stay in hotels, but they won't be allowed to leave the hotels or wherever they're staying, except for business meetings. And it needs to be in a car that has been arranged for them by the company that is hosting them. So very stringent requirements being laid down in order to, on the one hand, allow business people to travel here. On the other hand, to keep things as tightly controlled as possible. I'm not quite sure how they're going to police that. Is this car arranged by the people who are hosting you? Yes or no? Show me your evidence. I'm not quite sure, you know, when people leave the hotel, whether you can prove that you're going to a meeting rather than sneaking off to have a falafel down the local falafel shop. I'm not sure how that will work, but clearly some thought being given, being invested to try and get some business travel back again.
And even the 4 hour or 14 hour response from the airport. So you get on a plane and you wait nervously. I mean, I can just imagine this feeling of waiting for a negative result. You land there and then it hasn't arrived. So then you're now trying to find out who to speak to, because you can't go through passport control into this country that you've arrived in. Let's assume it's South Africa and you need a negative test. You can't go through until the result arrives, and then it arrives and it's positive. And then like, I don't know. To me, it's a lovely idea, but completely impractical. Completely.
It does sound a little bit crazy. And you sort of wonder to yourself whether airports are going to have a new facility now. COVID waiting room. Yeah. As you land, before you go through passport control.
My own
control,
anxiety.
COVID waiting room.
I wouldn't relax for a minute on that flight, worrying if they'll actually send the result, because you just don't trust the system. Did I give the right email address? And then, are you going to get the right? It's like waiting for exam results, this. And the consequences are big, because you've landed in another country.
I'm not sure that I would be quick to take advantage of it. It wouldn't surprise me, by the way, whether people might turn up there to get tested and to get results quite quickly, even people who are not planning to travel there.
That's a lovely lab. I mean, unless they demand a ticket, but I don't know. To me, it is very strange. The other story I want to ask you about is this one about this drug bust. Police officers have seized nearly a ton of cocaine in a drug bust. So firstly, Anthony, how big is the drug culture or drug problem in Israel?
I think it's growing. It at one stage wasn't such a big deal, but in recent years, I mean, years means probably the last 10 or 15 years, the use of drugs has been relatively widespread. There have been reports from time to time about police setting up surveillance operations to try to prevent the flow of drugs into Israel. They come in all different ways. Drugs flow in potentially through our borders, even from enemy countries. There have been even cases of IDF soldiers who've been held up responsible for facilitating the flow of drugs over the borders when they are, you know, policing the borders, certainly from the Egyptian side of the border, which is very notoriously difficult to police because the border is quite extensive, and it borders onto Sinai, which is kind of a no man's land. I mean, the things that go on in Sinai are just indescribable. It's almost like, you know, I think people would be very, very surprised as to what sort of shenanigans and bad things go on in Sinai, things that the police in Egypt can't really control because the vast nature of the area and how inhospitable the territory is. And of course, drugs are flowing in by sea as well, through shipments and by air shipments. And this particular truck that was found to have almost a ton of cocaine on board apparently was discovered by accident. It wasn't even as a result of some surveillance. Apparently, it was just kind of stumbled upon. Shipment of drugs, they say something like 750 kilograms of cocaine was found on this truck in the industrial area near the town of Kiryat Malachi in the south of Israel. And apparently that shipment of cocaine would be worth around 250 million shekels. So that's like about $800,000, $80 million, so almost $100 million, quite a substantial sum of money. There have been reports that, you know, Russian mafia have become a lot more active through contacts that they might have within the Russian community in Israel. I know that that's some, there's certainly anecdotal evidence of that. I think it would be a little unfair to paint the community across the board, but certainly the Russian mafia like to operate wherever they can, and they have their contacts these days in Israel through the Russian community here. There's no evidence at all that this particular shipment of contraband had any links to the Russian community at all, but certainly something very, very substantial.
Very, yeah, very, very concerning as this is, it's a, obviously a global problem, but one that you would hope that Israel should be or would be able to deal with. Anthony Reich, unfortunately, that's where we have to leave it. It is 8 o'clock. I wish you a peaceful, happy and wonderful weekend. Hopefully you get a lot of well-needed rain and that all goes well. We'll see you on Monday.
Shabbat shalom.